I'd like for us to turn to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. And we'll read a few verses here from this chapter. Beginning with verse 22, I'll read the remainder of the chapter through verse 28. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Also I want to read verses 11 through 14. Of the same chapter. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago this morning, I brought a little message from a text in the 50th Psalm, verse 5. It says, gather my saints together unto me, they who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Amen. I'm going to speak from the same text this morning. 2 weeks ago this morning, we reached a point in the discussion of the ushering in of the new covenant. Dealt with the thought that God found fault with the old covenant because it didn't reach the ultimate that he had in mind. Yeah. It provided no sacrifice that was sufficient to take away sin, and the ultimate that God had in mind was the taking away of sin, the destroying of the works of the devil. Amen. Out of the hearts and lives of people. And those sacrifices which they offered year by year, the scripture says, could not make the comers thereunto perfect. Or it was not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats could take away sin. That wasn't a sufficient sacrifice, and consequently God never required people through that time to live free from sin, because He Himself had not yet provided a sacrifice that was sufficient to take away sin. But now He has, and with the coming in of the new covenant,
amen,
He confirmed it with a sacrifice that was sufficient to take away sin. The sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And now these passages that I read here speaks of the purging of all things with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Blood had to be shed. And it had to be immaculate blood.
Amen.
It had to be a sacrifice without spot or blemish. And God couldn't find one, so He made Him one in the person of His Son, who knew no sin, and neither was guile found in His mouth. He was a perfect man, and therefore He could offer a perfect sacrifice. Now it says here, it was therefore, verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens, that is the heavenlies, the religious heavens, should be purified with these, the blood of bulls and of goats and so on, but the heavenly things themselves, that's we in these heavenly places that Christ has raised us up to sit with Christ in, should be purged with better sacrifices than these.
Yes.
Now Christ was a better sacrifice than bulls and goats and sheep and oxen.
Amen.
And His sacrifice accomplished a greater thing than their sacrifice did. The bringing in of this better or new covenant, the scripture says, concerning those in faith, these all died in faith, 11th chapter of Hebrews, all of those parade of faith champions that He brought out there, they all died in faith, not having received the promise, God having prepared some better thing for us, that without us they should not be made perfect. Or without this, that should not be made perfect. It took the new covenant to perfect the old. The old was just a step in getting there, see? And God's ultimate was a covenant confirmed by a sacrifice provided by He Himself that would bring humankind to the ultimate, and that was a life free from sin.
Amen.
Delivered from the power of sin.
Yeah.
And Christ has appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And verse 12 said that He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Now the scripture says that the redemption of the soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Here's where it did. When Christ offered the supreme sacrifice, the immaculate, holy sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, before God, that was the culmination.
Yes.
That was the climax. And it ceased forever. Right there. Now, there'll never be another Jesus Christ. There'll never be another Calvary. There'll never be another plan of salvation. Will never be any more provisions made than have already been made. God says, what can I do that I haven't done? He's done everything that could possibly be done, and there'll never be any more of these things. It has ceased forever. The sacrifice was total. It was acceptable. God saw the travail of Jesus Christ when He poured out His soul, an offering unto death, and He was satisfied. It was acceptable. Now, this new covenant that provides a life free from sin, a holy life, a perfected life, a sanctified life, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to give you and me power over all the powers of the enemy, that's the culmination, that's the end, that's the finishing of it. That's the perfection of the plan of God for the human race. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
who is a lamb without spot or blemish, offered Himself to God. Revelation 1:5 says, now from Him who is the faithful witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins,
amen,
in His own blood.
Yes.
1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, a sacrifice has been offered, the blood of which is sufficient to cleanse from all sin.
Amen.
Therefore, God is requiring men and women now to live without sin. He never required that under the old covenant dispensation, because He Himself had not yet provided a sacrifice that was sufficient to take away sin. So He made a provision for them, a temporary provision, that they could offer their sacrifices year by year and their sins would be forgiven them. But in reality, that was just kind of an interest payment. That's about all that was, rolling the debt on down till Jesus Christ would come and pay it. And rolling the sins of the whole human race on down to Jesus Christ would come and give the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all men. God placed on Him the iniquity of us all, and He provided this salvation that Christ would taste death for every man. Now, the covenant that God has made and sealed with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blood of His own Son is summed up here in the 9th chapter of Daniel, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Then He says in verse 26, no, 27, And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now this was Jesus Christ. He confirmed the covenant. God said that he would give him for a covenant to the people, and he came and confirmed God's covenant with the human race. And he was God's covenant.
Amen.
Now he said, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now how was this done? It was in the offering of himself. And in the offering of himself, we're told in the 10th chapter of Romans in verse 4 that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And when he offered himself a sacrifice at Calvary, he entirely and completely fulfilled the law with all of its sacrifices. And therefore, those sacrifices ceased in the midst of the week. Christ was cut off in the midst of the week. His ministry lasted about 3.5 years, and then he was cut off, and by his sacrifice, all the other sacrifices were obliterated and brought to an end. He caused them to cease in the midst of the week.
Amen.
Now, the covenant, this new covenant, is confirmed and sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That cleanseth us from all sin. The first thing mentioned in the covenant was to finish the transgression and make an end of sins. Jesus Christ said, I am come to destroy the works of the devil. Now Jesus did not destroy the works of the devil out of this world, but he actually destroys the works of the devil out of the hearts and lives of all people who receive him.
Amen.
Everyone who will come under the covenant provisions of the gospel, this new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses them from all sin, and he actually destroys the power and effect of sin, says sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are under grace. The grace of God is sufficient to overcome all sin. And when we're under grace, and God pouring his grace into our souls as we walk humbly with him, that grace is sufficient to triumph over all sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. In this new covenant, transgressions are not only forgiven, but the power and dominion of sin is destroyed out of the hearts and lives of men and women who come under the covenant provisions of this new covenant, this plan of salvation, and receive Christ into their hearts as the Lord of their lives. He empowers them and leads them by his Holy Spirit, and gives them power over all the powers of the enemy. Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph, says, Mary, your wife, is going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Now that's the ultimate. That's the end. A life free from sin. People saved from sin. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now this law in Christ sets people free from the law of sin that has reigned in their members all through their lives up to that time. But the power of it is broken. Sin is abolished out of the hearts and lives of all individuals who are saved according to the covenant provisions of this plan of salvation. In Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, he says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart." There you have it, folks. This is a heart work. People need to be sincere when they're doing business with God. They need to do business with Him from the heart and not from the head and not in a form. "Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin." We've got a covenant now that frees people from sin. And as Daniel put it, he finished the transgression and made an end of sin. Then the next thing in the covenant was to make reconciliation for iniquity. In the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and verses 18 and 19, he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, the ministry of the gospel is a reconciliation ministry, and it is what God has committed to all of His ministers. And He said He did not impute their trespasses unto them. Why didn't He? On what basis? Because He put them on Jesus. And God placed on Him the iniquity of us all. And when we accept that sacrifice and Jesus as our substitute and throw ourselves on the mercies of God and repent of our sins, He just transfers our sins over on Jesus. He did that even in the beginning at Calvary. God placed on Him the iniquity of us all. That's the way, and that's the only way that it could be that He did not impute their trespasses to them, because He took them off of them and put them on Jesus. And Jesus bore them as our substitute and in our stead. And when we accept that, it brings us under the covenant provisions of the plan of salvation. In the 5th chapter of Romans, verses 9 and 10, says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood," let me read verse 8, "but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son," oh folks, that's great. That's wonderful. We were enemies to God. We were aliens to God. We were outside the commonwealth of Israel. We were in rebellion against God in our hearts and in our lives. But even then, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. He gave His Son to die that there might be a reconciliation made between offending man and an offending God. Now this was all a transaction between God and His Son, and it had nothing at all to do with us. That is, we were not a part of it. And now we want to notice Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Here's the provision of salvation to all people, both as the Jew and the Gentile. And Christ died for all. The gospel commission was going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And Christ could declare this because He had suffered for all. A reconciliation has been made for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, a lot of folks got this that way on over there somewhere when Christ comes again and sets up His kingdom on this earth, and it's going to be a kingdom of righteousness, and He's going to reign forever in righteousness. The Word of God doesn't teach that. But we read in Luke, the first chapter, verses 73 through 75, He said, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives. Folks, this doesn't have to be an up and down experience with anyone. It doesn't have to be an in and out and floundering experience with anyone. We can have a good, solid, holy, righteous life and experience and relationship with God all the days of our lives. Bring in everlasting righteousness. He finished the transgression, made an end to sins, made reconciliation for iniquity, established everlasting righteousness, and this was all going on entirely outside the human race. It is between God and His Son. I just thought in meditating on this Friday night, God made this world and everything in it before He ever made a man. Everything for the convenience of man, that man could use, and that would be to man's benefit. He had it all made and arranged and functioning and operating before He ever made a man.
Amen.
And He made a man and put him here. And I thought about this new creation of God, and He had that all set up. The whole plan of salvation was set up and executed and in operation clear outside the human race. And when He got it all arranged, He said, now, all of you come to Me. Invited everybody into the provisions that He had already made in the plan of salvation. He had it all set up just like He had this world all set up before He created man. He had this all set up before He invited us to obtain salvation. Now, I mentioned last Sunday, but I want to enlarge on that some, that after Christ, or 2 weeks ago this morning, that after God had made all these provisions at the expense that He did, and the sacrifice of His own Son before He confirmed the covenant with us and required us to live according to His provisions, let us never think that He's going to let us in scot-free. Now He said, gather My saints together unto Me, they who have made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. Now in the In God's first appearance, in the first covenant that he gave to Abraham, back in Genesis, he made some broad promises here in the 15th chapter of Genesis. Very broad promises. And his seed was going to inherit that land, and his seed would be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore innumerable. And oh, they were just great promises. And in thy seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. These great promises were made to Abraham. But they were just too great for him. He just couldn't grasp this. He said, how can I know that it's going to be this way? And God said to him in verse 9 of the 15th chapter of Genesis, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Make me a sacrifice consisting of all of these things. And Abraham made his sacrifice, and he stood by and guarded his sacrifice. God didn't come right then. And he stood by and guarded his sacrifice till the sun was going down and it was getting dark. And then God came and found his sacrifice complete and intact. The fowls of the air had been swooping down there wanting to feed on his sacrifice, and he drove them away. He wouldn't allow them to feed on his sacrifice. And when God found his sacrifice complete and entire, he confirmed his covenant with him so deeply that Abraham was able to believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. There was a surety in it. There was a definiteness in it. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a little secret right here. If you're having trouble with your faith, examine your sacrifice. When Abraham made his sacrifice, and it was complete and entire, and God found it that way, and he had guarded it and protected it, God confirmed his covenant with him so positively and so surely and deeply that Abraham was able to believe God in the face of all of these great things. And I say that God will do the same with you and me if he finds our sacrifice complete and entire. He will confirm his covenant of grace within our souls till we'll be able to believe God and live by faith and have victory over sin and over all the beggarly elements of this world. Examine your sacrifice if you're having a problem with your faith. See that your sacrifice is complete. It's entire. Protected. Abraham protected his. He stood by and guarded it till the sun went down and it was getting dark. And I say that your responsibility and mine before God is to make our sacrifice, lay our all on the altar, surrender ourselves to God, let God work in us the will and the do of his good pleasure, and become the Lord of our lives, to direct our lives, and then guard it from then on. Don't ever take up anything you ever put down. Don't ever take off of the altar anything you ever put on the altar. Don't ever take back into your life anything you put out of your life as you came along in living for God and walking in the light and measuring up to the truth. Don't ever go back and pick up any of those things. Paul says, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Amen. I say, as you and I walk in every ray of light that God has given us, and and measure up to every bit of truth that He's revealed to our souls, and respond to all of God's dealings with our souls, and keep on the altar everything we ever put on the altar. Don't ever take up a thing, and the things that come to feed on our sacrifice, bad attitudes, resentments, bitterness, bad feelings, the allurements of this world, the urge to please ourselves and have our own way, all of these things that come in to feed on our sacrifice, drive them away, resist them steadfastly in the faith. Don't take yourself off the altar. Leave your sacrifice complete and intact, and God will confirm His covenant so deeply in your soul that you can live a victorious and triumphant life.
Amen.
We have a song that says, "Perfect submission, perfect delight." Folks, that's where it is. That's where you'll find your delight in serving God, and the pleasures of His salvation is in your perfect submission to Him. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Yes,
next verse says, perfect submission, all is at rest. Folks, if you want to be at rest, if you want to be free from turmoil and from confusion in your heart and life, if you want to be free from double-mindedness and insecurity in your relationship with Christ, just perfectly submit to Him. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Amen.
Just examine your sacrifice. If you're having problems in your spiritual life and in your ability to live victoriously and triumphantly, examine your sacrifice. Gather my saints together unto me. He made all the provisions and everything all set up clear outside the human race. A transaction between Him and His Son, and His Son became a party to it willingly to make His sacrifice. Now He said, gather to me those that will make a covenant with me by sacrifice. Those that will come under the covenant provisions of the plan of salvation. Those that will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and repent of their sins and meet the conditions of God's Word and come under the covenant provisions of the plan of salvation. That's the ones He's saying, gather to me. Gather unto me my saints, they that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Amen.
Well, there's more yet, but time's run out for the present. So we just trust the Lord to inspire every soul, bless every heart, encourage all of us to step right into the provisions that God has made for us, that we might live triumphantly and victoriously and enjoy the benefits of this new covenant.